believe that services are now coming to a close. They've gone by so quickly. They've gone by so fast. We are truly thankful for the privilege and opportunity to have come bring the Word of God to you. We have sought to know His will, desired to preach nothing but that which He would give and would have us to preach. We pray God will bless His Word. Revival services can come to an end as far as the schedule, but the work and the spirit of revival can and I believe should continue after the services. May God's Word continue to be effectual in our lives. May God bless each one according to His will. We are so thankful, my wife and I, for your hospitality, your kindnesses to us, for all those that have had us in your home and provided for our needs. We just pray God's blessings upon you for your efforts. And I know God does bless and God does reward such efforts. Thank you so much. And thank you for the spirit of being here and being receptive to God's word, spirit of seeking to be blessed and praying for us as we have brought God's word. We truly love your pastor and his wife. My wife and I have been so blessed to be able to spend so much good quality time with them this week. It has blessed us, and God has truly revived and stirred us in our time being with you. And we pray that God will continue to bless Home Baptist Church, pastor and his wife, and use you for His honor and His glory. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I have a very simple message. Pray the Lord will use it. I pray you will be encouraged as this meeting comes to a close. We have to go back out into the world. May we be encouraged. May God give us strength and grace. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe the day approaching, verse number 25, is the day that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns and comes to take us home. I believe that day is nearer than ever before. I believe that day is upon us. I believe that day is imminent. I believe our feeling, our comprehension of that day should be with such anticipation that we expect him to come even before this service is over. We need to be looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in verse number 23, the Word of God says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you and myself to hold fast your profession. Hold fast your profession as we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we part and these services come to an end and we have to get up and go back out into this world and our routines, may we hold fast. Let us persevere, continue in the faith until Jesus Christ comes. When the Lord saved your soul, you professed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold fast to that profession. Come what may, hold fast to your profession. May God bless this church and help this church to also hold fast. For she stands for something. She is the body of Christ in this place. She has a great, great Savior. She has a great mission. She has a great purpose. And this church needs to be determined to hold fast until Jesus Christ comes. I don't believe there is a single church guaranteed to be here when Christ comes. Many churches have come and gone that have not held out until the coming of Christ. You and I know of many churches that used to be and are no longer in existence at this hour. You and I know of many churches that used to be that are no longer sound at this hour. They did not hold fast. May God help Home Baptist Church to continue to hold fast till Jesus comes. We cannot rest upon our laurels. We cannot rest upon the past. We cannot rest upon how far we have come. We must continue to hold fast until Jesus comes. Three things that we want to share with you this evening. Why we need to hold fast our profession of faith. Why you need to hold fast. Why you can't just assume. Why you can't just go with the flow. Why you can't let down your guard. Consider some things as to why we should hold fast. First of all, you and I carry about a body of flesh. We carry about a body that is weak and a body that is frail. We carry about the body of flesh that is prone to wonder, that is prone to sin, that is prone to stumble. And we're not going to let that down until we receive that glorified body. We will carry this weak, frail, vile, depraved flesh until Jesus comes. So don't trust yourself. Don't trust any person. Don't let down your guard. Hold fast to your profession of faith and don't let your flesh cause you to stray. Don't give in to the flesh, the desires of the flesh. As we think about being separate and being holy and being righteous before God and serving Him, we compare ourselves from being of the world. But this flesh loves the world. This flesh desires the things of the world. This flesh is enticed by the lust of the world, the passions of the world. Don't stop holding fast to your profession of faith. Those that stumble, those that fall, those that are taken into sin and are taken captive by sin, are taken into and captive by sin because of the weakness of the flesh. That which is within us, our Lord and Savior, His Spirit, His seed, the Bible tells us, cannot sin. But the flesh is weak. Hold fast, because this flesh loves the world, the ways of the world, the things of the world, longs to have the applause of the world, longs to be acceptable to the world. Look over to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark 14. Jesus says to Peter, verse number 38, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit, it truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Book of Romans, chapter 7. Romans, the 7th chapter, and verse number 22. The Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Surely that is true of all of us who are saved. We delight in the law of God, the Word of God, the things of God after the inward man. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" Folks, this is all of us. If we're saved, we delight in the law of God after the inward man, but we still have the natural man. We still have the flesh. And all how we need to understand, oh, what a wretched person we are in this flesh, and prone to sin and wonder, the worst thing you can imagine anybody doing, you're capable of doing, I'm capable of doing in the flesh. Don't say, "I'll never." Because many have said, "I'll never," and they have. Let us understand the vileness and the weakness and the wretchedness of the flesh. And let us, by the grace of God, hold fast our profession of faith. We have named the name of Christ. We have declared Him as our Lord and Savior. We have declared our looking for His return. Now let us hold fast to that declaration until He comes. And we can lay down this body of flesh. Next of all,
Lord Jesus Christ, the great,
because you're living in a very wicked, ungodly world. As we said this morning, this sanctuary is a refuge. This sanctuary is an oasis, a place where we can come away from the world. It is a precious, glorious place. But Lord, we cannot stay here. We cannot live here. We cannot remain here. We have to bring these services to a close, as we do every Lord's Day when His churches meet. We have to bring the Lord's Day to a close and our time here in this special place to a close. And we have to go back into enemy territory, into hostile territory, wicked, ungodly territory. You will not go out the doors of this church and get back to your home without seeing and being exposed to wickedness in this world. We will not get in our car and travel back towards Archbold and Wauseon, Ohio, without being exposed on our journey to many, many wicked things and wicked sights. We are living in an ungodly world that is not getting better. Never will get better. God declared it's not getting better. God told us it's getting worse and worse, darker and darker. And so we leave this place and we leave this day of services to go back out into one of the most hostile environments you can imagine for Christ. The most offensive name in the world is the name Jesus, the true name of Jesus. This world is dark and wicked. The Bible tells us the times in which we live are perilous. And tomorrow is going to be worse than today. The next day worse than Monday, and the next day worse than Tuesday, and so on and so forth. And we must be determined to hold fast our profession of faith in a very wicked, ungodly environment. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 19, and we know that we are of God. Praise God for that knowledge. We know we are of God. We know we are His. He has saved us by His amazing grace. He has sent His Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We know He's ours, and we know we're His. He is our Heavenly Father. We know that we are of God, but we also know the whole world lieth in wickedness. I know there are those who would argue it, but I believe the times and the world is more wicked today than ever before. Man is ever increasing his ability to sin and grow in wickedness. If you could go back in time, knowing what you know today, and tell somebody all that would be going on in our society today, they'd never believe it. They couldn't imagine. My parents, my grandparents, they never dreamt of the depth of wickedness that would be present in 2011. Man's knowledge and man's technology, as it has increased, has only increased wickedness. We are bombarded with this wickedness and this terrible environment. Hold fast your profession. The book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This present evil world. That says it all. We're living in an evil world. Next of all, hold fast your profession of faith, because we have a constant enemy in the person of Satan. They tell us, the results of surveys say, fewer and fewer people believe in a place called hell. Fewer and fewer people believe in the reality of Satan. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of Christians and even a whole lot of Baptists who have lost their appreciation for the reality of Satan. It's not make-believe, folks. He's alive and well. Let us not forget that this present evil world in which we have to live and continue to hold fast to our profession of faith, let us not forget that this world is his. He is called the God of this world, the Prince of this world. We're living in his neighborhood. And he is our very real and present enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I won't read anymore. I just wanted us to note that Satan transforms himself into angels of light, messengers of light. He's a powerful force. He's a deceitful, wicked force. He hates you who name Christ. He hates your family. He hates your precious children. Longs to devour them, longs to destroy them, longs to suck them into this world and the ways of this world, longs to draw them into all the wicked and immoral acts that you can think of, longs to draw them into addictions and lives of misery. We must hold fast, because Satan is real. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 tells us that Satan is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may destroy, whom he may devour. He's roaming to and fro, just as he did in Job's day, seeking to destroy God's people, those who might bring glory to God. He's a real, unimaginably powerful enemy to God's people. Let us hold fast. I read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 about a man by the name of Demas. And Paul wrote there in that second epistle to Timothy about a man named Demas who had forsaken him, having loved this world more. He didn't hold fast to his profession. Demas loved this world. We know he was changed and brought to be a great blessing to the Apostle Paul, but there was a time when John Mark did not hold fast to his profession of faith. While they were out on a missionary journey, John Mark left the party, deserted Paul and Barnabas on the work that God had called them to do, and it caused a great rift between Paul and Barnabas. So much so that they parted company. We read Paul's letter to the Galatians. And this is a letter to several churches. Not a person. Not a single church. But he wrote to the churches, plural, of Galatia. And he asked them, "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" They were leaving. They were not holding fast. There are other examples in Scripture, and there are other examples we could think about in our lives and in our memories of the used-to-bes that no longer hold fast to their profession of faith. I truly believe many who make professions of faith probably are not saved. There's so much false profession and deception by emotion and pressure tactics. But yet, there are many truly saved folks who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who fail their profession and do not hold fast. Don't be in that number. Don't let me be in one in that number. Let us hold fast. Don't be a statistic. Don't be a bad example. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a poor witness by being untrue to your profession of faith. I challenge you to go back to the day that you made your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you to go back to when you declared, "The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. I know He's my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow Him in baptism, and I want to declare my faith in His death, burial, and resurrection by being baptized, and I want to unite with the church here." Go back to that profession of faith. What God did for you and what you declared He did for you, what your baptism was all about, what you promised, what you pledged, what you covenanted to do in your profession of faith when you presented yourself to this church. And I dare you to go back and make sure you have been true to your profession. Have you held fast? Are you holding fast? Will you hold fast? As Paul stood before Agrippa, who declared, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian," Paul says, "I would to God that you were like me." think about the Apostle Paul and his declaration and desiring that all men were indeed like him, you understand that the Apostle Paul was convinced about some things. He certainly was convinced about the fact that he had been saved, born again, and changed by the Spirit of God. By his declaring, "I would to God you were altogether like I am." He knew his salvation was real. He knew he had been born again. He knew he was a child of God, and he desired Agrippa, and yea, that all men would be like him. The Apostle Paul was convinced altogether concerning the facts of Jesus Christ. He was fully convinced that everything the Bible tells us about Christ was true. Christ wasn't a theory or a concept. Christ was real to the Apostle Paul. And he longed that all men were like him because he was fully convinced in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul would to God that Agrippa and yea, all men were likened unto him, because he was fully convinced that the doctrines of Scripture and the doctrines and teachings of the church were true. The Apostle Paul would to God that Agrippa, yea, all men were like unto him, because he was fully convinced of the reality of the world to come. Heaven. I would to God you were like me, because I have been saved, I have been born again, I am a child of God. I would to God you were like me, because I know the person of Jesus Christ. He's real, and he's all that he says he is, and he's all that Scripture says he is. I would to God you were like me, because all the Bible teaches and all the doctrines of his church are true. I would to God you were like me, because heaven is real. The reality of going there is real to me. The Apostle Paul certainly can be seen as a man by the grace of God who held fast to his profession of faith, longing and desiring that all men were like him. Folks were living in body of flesh that's wicked and vile. All we have to do is not only look around and see all the examples of its wickedness, but just consider our own thoughts. Just consider what crosses your mind as you're sitting in church sometimes. We're dwelling in a wicked, ungodly body of flesh. Let us hold fast. Don't let the flesh destroy your testimony. Don't let the flesh drag you into sin. Don't let the flesh be used of Satan to ruin what God has given you and all that he would have you to be. Don't let the flesh get in the way. Hold fast to your profession. The flesh can be overcome by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a very wicked and ungodly environment. Hold fast. God has called us to live godly in this present evil world. Therefore, it is possible. The world cannot destroy us, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hold fast. You're going to go out the doors of this church, and you're going to go out into this wicked, terrible place called the world, caring about a wicked, fleshly body. And you're going to encounter Satan or one of his many demons seeking to devour and destroy you. By the grace of God, hold fast. Don't be a victim. Be as the Apostle Paul. Be fully convinced in your mind. May I be fully convinced in my mind that we are truly one of His? Convinced about the truth of the person of Jesus Christ? Convinced fully that what we believe is truth? What the Bible teaches is truth? What Home Baptist Church stands for is truth? Be fully convinced that this life is one day going to come to an end. The Lord is going to come and we're going to go up to glory. Be fully convinced of these things. By the grace of God, through the aid of the Spirit, the use of His Word, the sword of the Spirit, hold fast. May we do all to hold fast.